This is XN Anderson. Welcome to the Principal Podcast today. Today, I am excited that we have Dr. John Skidmore. He's a doctor of psychology. He's a licensed psychologist. He's been helping performers find freedom on the stage and in life. He's an author of a children's book. He's also the co-author of a book about called Conquer Anxiety, about how to overcome anxiety and optimize your performance. So grateful that you've made the time to speak with us today, Dr. John Skidmore. Thank you for being here.
Hey, it is a delight to be here. I'm always wanting to support people who really are in favor of great parenting. And that's one thing I know about you, X, is you, you know, your commitment to parenting and your investment and your passion to really help, you know, fathers just be great fathers.
Well, thank you. You're correct. Yeah, I do want to help dads and parents. And I really appreciate you saying that. So along those lines, let me ask you a question. If there was one thing that you think parents should know or need to know, what would you say it is?
Be ready to grow up with your kids.
Isn't that true?
My daughter came home from church one day and she was about 12 and a half. And she goes, "Dad, why do parents hate teenagers?" Now, I'm not quite sure what she heard that gave her that impression. And I thought about that just for a moment, because someone's talking about those kids, they don't know that. Parents will often make jokes about, well, what if we just like lock them up for 5 years and then like let them loose, you know, that kind of thing about teenagers. And I said, well, parents who don't get along with teenagers aren't willing to grow up with their teenagers. And again, at every age and every stage with our kids, we're going to have to do a lot of growing up to be able to manage them, be able to get into their world, be able to respectfully and lovingly connect with them to support them as best we can. So we got to grow up with our kids.
So how do you do that? How do you do that? How does a parent grow up with their kids? I mean, they're used to having kids maybe be a certain way, and then they hit teenagers and all of a sudden the children are acting a little different than they did a few years ago.
Right.
How do you do that?
Well, when I think of a parent growing up with their kids, it's really about a person who's becoming more mature, a person who's becoming more aware that they want to bring their best self to whatever's going on. And those moments when we're parents and we're not bringing that best dad, okay, suddenly we were really sharp or really curt. We were totally impatient. We were reactive. Whoa, that's not my best parenting moment. And so I've got to figure out what's going on with me first. Carl Jung is famous for making the quote that this is not going to be an actual quote, but he's basically saying that if we're trying to change something within our child, we're better off learning to look at ourselves and change what's going on within us first. And that's how we're growing up. We got to look at what's going on with us first.
Isn't that interesting? That sounds a lot like something Jesus Christ said, cast the mud out of your own eye first. It seems along those same lines.
You know, I think that's a good thing. I can say as a parent, as I really tried to adopt that, as I really tried to bring that into my parenting, so many of the issues that at first response were really charging me up and really kind of getting me and I'm really concerned about, when I was able to take care of my side of the street and really look at what's going on for me with this, boy, the problems with my son, my daughter, they kind of faded away. They just didn't really turn into anything big. They were something we could manage.
If you can work on yourself, right? If you can work on yourself first. Wow. How would relationships be different throughout the world if everyone said, you know what, I have this problem in my relationship. I'm going to turn in and see if there's something I can do to help me be a better person instead of saying, hey, it's your fault or it's your fault.
Well, the problem, we'd all have to give up an excuse to act the way we're acting. My son made me do this. If he hadn't done this, I wouldn't have done that. It's his fault. It's my wife's fault. It's my daughter's fault. Rather than saying like, well, yeah, my son did what he did. I mean, as a clinical psychologist, I've worked with parents for, you know, really for decades. And, you know, when I'm thinking about this dad in his anger saying to me, as I was basically saying, oh, wait a minute, dad, you ordered your son out of the house. He flips you off as he leaves and you go and tackle him because he was disrespecting you. Now, mom had to go call the police. Now, that is not a shining moment in parenting. But this dad's response was simply, when my son apologizes to me, I'll apologize to him. I'm going, dad, whoa, that's not going to work. That is not going to work. You are out of line.
And see, along those same lines, and maybe this has something to do with it, but you talk about relationship first parenting.
Yes.
And you're talking about this situation that seems like a kind of a the situation where it's like, hey, I'll change when you change. I think that's a big relationship problem. But can you help me understand, does that relate with your understanding of what, I mean, help me understand what you mean by relationship first parenting and in context of what you've just said here.
Well, if this dad was really concerned about his relationship, like, see, the dad put respect and disrespect ahead of his relationship. And guaranteed that tackling his son is an action to prove he was more powerful and to demand respect did not help the relationship. Guaranteed it was incredibly harmful. And so to be able to look at that and say, okay, what if we could take on as parents that, yes, I want to make sure my relationship is the most important thing. Now, what parent of a teenager wouldn't want to get a call, like let's say at like 11:30, and it's like, Dad, there's some really creepy stuff going on over here. Can you come get me? Now, what parent wouldn't want that? Now, that's
Exactly.
all about a relationship.
And if they're scared to
You
call you
know,
because you're more about respect, possibly, then that call may never happen.
I told you to be in at 11 o'clock and you weren't in at 11 o'clock. And suddenly to make that call would be like, oh, there's going to be a whole different level of problem. Kid's not going to make that call. I told you not to go over to his house. I told you not to be here.
So, give us a few pointers, Dr. John Skidmore. Give us some pointers about if I'm a parent and I realize, goodness, I feel like I'm maybe becoming kind of this authoritarian parent, and I really want to build a relationship with my child. What are some things that I could do today or
Yeah.
this week? What are some things like? Tell me how I can start building this relationship rather than kind of going down the same track that I may be used to or learned in my own family.
Well, you brought up a really great point there, learned in my own family. One of the things that I learned in my family, so I'm now a teenager. My group of peers were into cross-country skiing. Great. I love to cross-country ski. And I'm home one night and my dad goes, John, let's go down to the sporting goods store. It's like, okay, Dad, why? Well, you're buying me a pair of skis. Oh, okay. Now, how do we enter? How do we enter the world of our children? And my dad saying, buy me a pair of skis was his way of saying, hey, you're doing something. I want to share that with you. And I can do that. Let's go buy a pair of skis. And so one of the first things I would look at today is ask yourself the question today, how am I entering the world of my child? Each child has a different world and it's not yours. A 3-year-old doesn't care about where his shoes are. You do. 5-year-old doesn't care about you being late to work. You might, you do. And so the question is, how do we developmentally look at what is in their world? And how do we go into their world first and then lead them into ours? Now, think of the common example here of you got a kid playing video games. If you walk over and then turn off that stupid game right now, you're not entering their world. You're not connecting with them. If you walked over and said something as simple as, I can tell you're killing it. You got 5 more minutes. It'd be a whole different kind of experience as you're interacting with that child. And so that would be one of my first things I say is, how are you entering the world of your child? And all too often we enter with demands and commands. We enter with gruffness or criticism or sarcasm. And that's just not healthy. Now, if we can look at that and say, well, what's their world about? and how can I connect with them? I was working with a dad one time, and he had a young boy, and this particular father had difficulty entering the world of his son. Well, I talked about enter his world. Now, it just so happened his wife was in the office as well this day. And it was basically, when your son invites you to do something, do it with him. Well, I heard later, Dad, I heard the story of Dad, will you play Batman with me? And Dad's response was more like, how about some hoop? Let's go shoot some hoop. Then Mom was like, his world's Batman. Oh, how do we play Batman? And Dad spent some time playing Batman with his son. Batman was the son's world. Basketball was Dad's world.
What a profound, you know, I got tingles, John, as you said this. I got tingles as you said, how can we find a way to get into our children's world? Isn't that if we could do that as parents?
Yes.
And go play Batman instead of saying, hey, I'm going to drag you out to basketball or just do something important. And I know, you know, that must have meant so much to you when your father said, you're going to buy me some skis today. Because what he was really saying is, I want to get into your world.
Right.
Go skiing with you. And I care enough about you. What a profound, profound thought. How do I get into their world? And their world is not my world.
Right. And sometimes it's really challenging. My son was 23 years old and we went mountain biking. And he goes, Dad, how come we've never been on this trail before? It's like, it's not that I haven't invited you, but like when you were in high school and I'd invite you to come on this trail, you're like, oh, Dad, I've got this going on, I got that going on. He wasn't interested in going with me. He had plenty of invitations to go on this trail. And there were some other mountain biking things that we did do. But it's like, how come you never invited me to go on this trail? No, you were invited to go on this trail, but you had other things going on. And so again, you have to be patient and you have to be aware that their world is different than yours. And we want to be able to connect with them. And one thing I would say for any parent, anytime you have an invitation to enter their world, jump. Go after it. If they're saying, hey, can we talk? If they're saying, let's play Batman. If they're saying, I need some help with a school project. Figure out how you can turn that into a relationship building experience. Now, sometimes a thing like a school project could become, sadly, a conflict. No, you cannot do something with that. No, you can't figure out how much pressure is actually in a soda bottle when you put baking soda and how far you can shoot the cap. That's not a good enough science project. Well, that's the dad setting up a science project. Can I tell you another story? That's one of my favorite moments in parenting.
Would you please?
My son was in high school. And I'm at the kitchen table. And he opens the door, bursts in and goes, Dad, I want to build a trebuchet. I'm like, what? Catapult. I'm going like, what? Well, he was telling me about his world. No, he was in junior high. He was telling me about his world history class where they had to have a project of the old world, something recreated, something about that. And he wanted to build a trebuchet. Well, he kept talking about that. We did some research. And again, that pattern of entering my son's world, like my dad entered my world, I'm trying to figure out how to help him develop a trebuchet, make one. So we're doing some research. We're watching a car get launched by a trebuchet. We watched an engineer launch himself. I'm not sure if that guy was a Darwin Award winner or not, but that was not smart. We watched big and little trebuchets. And then one day it was like, okay, let's do something. So we went in the garage and we made a trebuchet. It was probably about 3 feet by 4 feet. This was our trebuchet, just out of junk in the garage. And I'm sitting there going like, whoa, we've got your trebuchet. We got your project done. And then my son goes, Dad, I want to build a big trebuchet. Of course, mine was the one that was launching the car going like, whoa, that was my definition of big. And I'm going like, okay, I'm not enrolled in that. I'm not in favor of that. But I did say, go talk to Mitch, a neighbor who's a contractor. And if you can get some scrap from him and you want to build something, I'll help you. And
I like how you let him do it too. You didn't just say, I'm going to go down there and see if I can get it for you, but let him kind of, but I'll assist you. I'll help you, right?
Yeah, so I'll help you. But, talk to Mitch and get some scrap. We can build it. Well, I love the story because he kept talking to people about this trebuchet. And just before Christmas, a girl that he liked, her dad happened to be a contractor. And 24 2x4s showed up on our porch for Christmas for him.
Wow.
And I'm going like, hey, we got some materials here. Yeah, okay. We had this monster of a trebuchet. I mean, it was so fun. We were launching stuff down the street. I mean, but again, that was one of those moments where his world, my world, okay, they weren't, he wanted a big one. I wanted a little one. But we worked that out and we had just a blast with the trebuchet. When we start to like load it, the whole neighborhood would show up. Watermelons and cantaloupes would come out of the houses and we'd launch them down the street. And we wouldn't let Mitch launch the cat. We weren't going to do that. But, you know, it's just like, it was just fun.
That, what an adventure. Is this what you mean when you talk about adventures of growing up with your children, when you're saying like, let's adventure together? Is that what, is this what we're talking about? Or was, do you mean this?
Absolutely. So here we are with that trebuchet. We get it locked and loaded for the first official launch. We had a 100-pound bucket of cement as a counterweight. So this wasn't small, right? First time we launched it, the axle goes, it just bent right in half. It was only a half inch piece of pipe, galvanized pipe. Well, it was redesigned. What do we do? Okay, 3/4 inch pipe, half inch piece of rebar jammed through it. Let's try it again. That worked.
Wow.
That
Just
was
out of curiosity, how far did these cantaloupes and watermelons and not cats go?
actually, he redesigned that for his high school physics class. It went 108 feet at
Wow.
8 pound shot put.
How many opportunities are lost when where children come to us and say, "Hey, Dad, will you do something with me?" And we're like, "I'm busy," or "You're scrolling," and we do, and we realize much too late as a father.
Yeah.
Missed so many opportunities because we were doing something like scrolling through the next dumb clickbait article or some
Absolutely.
unimportant email or some trivial news article. I mean, what is it that we can do? I mean, when those moments when your children come to you and say, "Hey, Dad, what I'm really saying is I want you to come into my world. Will you let me into your world? Will you build a relationship with me?" And then later on, you have real influence with them rather than, "Oh, it's just my dad who was always bossing me around." Or
Yeah.
didn't do anything with me, or maybe wasn't even there.
Well, we can be home, but not home as a dad. I mean, like I'd be sitting at the kitchen table. I could have been absorbed in whatever drama that's in my personal world. Dad, I want to build a trebuchet. I don't have time for that right now.
Yeah, how many times have we had dad said that and lost a marvelous opportunity to go shoot cantaloupes with our kids?
It was hilarious. We laid siege to a neighbor's house and rolled it down the street. Anyway.
What an awesome story. I love that.
Now, see, one of the things that's so important here is think about greeting. You come home. What if you made coming home tonight the most important thing ever? And you said, whatever my son, whatever my daughter's doing, even my wife's doing, I'm going to relate and connect with them, what's going on with them? Well, for a few minutes, you're going to like, what's going on for you? Oh, Dad, I did this at school. Great. And you talk about it. Or you give them a hug and you relate to them. And then they want to go play. But it's like, what if your goal when you came home was to connect with each of your children that night as quickly as you could? What a simple thing to do. What a powerful thing to do. Because again, you're connecting with them in their world. And for that moment, they are the most important thing in your life, and they're feeling it.
I love that. Instead of just walking in and making an event to come home, where people
Yeah.
say, "Wow, Dad's home! Dad, welcome home!" And they get excited to see you because they know they're going to be able to connect, and you're going to be able to build that relationship and get in their
Yeah.
world and somehow give them a big hug. I've heard some, you know, just an enthusiastic greeting, "Hey, it's good to see you," with a big hug or something.
Oh, love it.
Yeah.
And then you can say, you know what? I need a few minutes before I can like really reconnect with the family here. So I greet everybody in a loving way. And then, okay, go take that half hour to decompress or whatever you got to do so you can like leave the work at work or the problems there. And then you can come back downstairs. A simple thing you can do is literally just change your clothes. Like I'm now wearing different clothes. and I am here ready to fully engage in the family for the rest of the evening.
And I'm going to lock my device up for a little while, not use it for a while so I can be present, right?
You know, that device concept is such a challenge. I don't know how I'd have survived having a porn store in my pocket 24/7 as a kid growing up. I mean, I just, that'd have been disastrous. I don't know how I'd have survived if at any moment I could find something more interesting than what's going on right now, just by scrolling through or talking and chatting. And so again, when we look at scrolling and this as an anti-relationship device, it really can be, cell phone right here, there we go, really be an anti-relationship device more so than a relationship building device. Now, it can be used to build relationships too, but if it's in the way of relating in a real way, it's time to set it down.
Set it down. I love that. Anti-relationship device. Let's not call it a device. Let's call it an anti-relationship device. I'm going to go put my anti-relationship device in the other room so I don't have to worry about it destroying my relationships tonight.
Well, and how many times are you with somebody, your cell phone goes off, and what do? Well, there's a switch task cost mentally and emotionally by having to disengage, connect over here, then try to come back over here.
You know, I got to tell you, I had an aunt, and she, in fact, I have an aunt, and she's so good at this. She actually, you know, you'll be talking to her, and maybe the phone that's on the other side of the room starts ringing, and she won't even look at it. It's like birds chirping in the. She's just, and sometimes I'll even say, "Well, do you need to check that?" And she goes, "No,
no,
I'm here with you." And
I'm
it makes
here.
You feel, whoever's over there, they can wait. Right now, I'm here with you. And so the unspoken language is, you know, if you come in and you're holding your device in your hand, you're almost saying, well, you're pretty important, but what if somebody dings in on my Instagram feed or my X feed or some random email comes through? Put it down and make the person who you're with, your children, the most important, because aren't they?
Well, and we want them to be, and they deserve to be. And there are times our personal needs or our career or challenges need to be at a higher priority than what our child wants right now. Can you take me to the store? No, I can't. But it's not about doing it all the time. It's about doing it enough of the time.
Right.
Enough of the time where you can create that good enough relationship, that good enough connection. So, hey, if I can't help out tonight, it's not going to be the end of the world. We can do this another time. And we can really build that connection.
I love that. You know, let me ask you another question on a different subject. I appreciate this, John. I think one of the most important things that a dad can do is try to help build confidence in their children. Now, I know you're a performance psychologist. You help kids be more confident to overcome stage fright. What are a few things that parents can do to help build confidence, maybe in a performance or in other places, to help them overcome anxiety or stage fright? What are some things they can do?
Oh, you know, I appreciate you asking that. And in fact, on June 5th, I'll be doing a presentation specifically on what parents can say or should say or shouldn't say to their kids about, you know, creating confidence or having them perform at the level they would like to. First off, I would say we've got to recognize that whatever we're requiring or presenting our children to have as a performance opportunity, okay, we've got to look at this as a perspective of discovery, mastery, and relationship. So discovering, they've got to master this. Well, what's the relationship they want to build with this thing we're doing with, they're having them do, like dance or basketball, as well as with me as a parent? What kind of relationship, again, do we want to create here? And so just first recognizing this isn't about a home run. This is about baseball called a place to discover and a place to master and create a great relationship with a sport, a great relationship within themselves, and a great relationship with them as a son and a father. I mean, just, dude, you lost the game. You should not have struck it out. What was that all about? Well, suddenly that criticism, that shaming, that negativity is like, that's going to hurt. And that's going to impact the relationship.
And I think the studies show that honey works better than vinegar. When you catch your kids doing something right, when they actually What I'm saying is, and we're talking about this from a relationship building standpoint, but who really wants to have somebody point out what they did wrong? We already know that. People want to be recognized for the strengths that they have, for the things they did right, which actually makes those, as we recognize them, more likely to come out later. Would you agree with that?
Absolutely. I think one silly notion that a lot of us have had as coaches, as parents, is that by being negative and critical will improve their behavior.
Not so, though. I mean, even
No.
research-based,
Well,
right?
not only that, there's a guy named Daniel Kahneman who has a Nobel Prize talking about the majority of our children's behavior. Let's say the majority of those basketball skills our son has just learned on the court. They're going to be working for him. Okay, he misses that foul shot. He loses the game. You let him have it. Well, the next game, he makes that foul shot. Can you sit back and say, taught him the right lesson? Good job. No, this is called regression toward the mean. It's all statistical. Your son has an average of foul shots made or not made. Really a cool concept to start working on. And so the idea that we're going to create a positive impact by being extra harsh, negative, critical, and that's going to somehow make them catch that pass, get a better grade. Okay, why'd you fail that test? Well, you were grounded for a month. Well, that's a punishment rather than, okay, wow, that test did not go well. Talk to me. What's going on in your world? What happened?
And build the relationship. I
Build that
really, really,
relationship.
this relationship first parenting, John, is something that is seems so important to me for dads to learn. We're going to build the relationship. So the relationship is more important than whether you win the game. It's more important than whether you make the shot. The relationship first.
Yes.
By having that relationship first, it gives them confidence and makes it more likely that they will be successful in other endeavors.
Well, in that sense, they would know that that relationship is strong enough for when they fail, and they will fail, when they struggle, they got a place they can go back and find it's safe. And so those arms are consistent as they can be. Not perfect. No one's perfect in that. But that sense of this is a safe place for me to reconnect. See, we don't build self-esteem by hitting home runs. That's not what self-esteem is all about. Self-esteem and confidence is, oh, I've learned I can handle striking out and hitting home runs. And I found a safe place that I can celebrate when I hit the home run, and I can feel safe and supported when I strike out. It's all part of the game.
I love that. So tell me about this story. You've got a motto, and it kind of goes along with what you said here, this motto of risk, fail, risk again.
Wow, wouldn't that be amazing to be able to really instill this idea that, hey, you can risk and you can fail and you're going to fail a lot. Well, let's risk again. See, typically when we fail, what do? We start to slow down, we stop, sometimes we pivot, and most of the time we run away. And so suddenly we have all these kids right now that can win at a video game, but they can't win at playing the piano. They can't win at sports. I don't know. I'm not any good at basketball. Well, how much time do you spend practicing basketball? Well, I've spent a little bit. I'm kind of, no, but let's go play this video game. It's really about how can we support them and how can we encourage them to fail and not make failure a shameful thing. So, like when I've coached parents before, I've said, okay, when you go home tonight, I want you to talk to your child and see them through the lens of discovery, mastery, and relationship. Okay, just whatever you find tonight, whatever you find when you go home today, when you leave this room and you go into your front room and there are your kids. Okay, what are they discovering? What are they mastering? What's the relationship? Got another funny story. I love to tell stories. So I pull into the garage.
Discovery, mastery, relationship. What
Yes.
are my child discovering? What are they mastering? What is the relationship?
Yeah.
Yeah, interesting. Okay,
So
great. Sorry, go ahead with the story.
I pull into the garage and I see some of my tools on the floor of the garage. And I see some rollerblades on the floor of the garage. And I see one rollerblade with the two center wheels missing in the rollerblade. And I look at the other rollerblade and I see that, oh, that's the hacksaw on the floor of the garage.
Thank you.
And somehow there's a story here. Now I'm grateful that was a good day. So I came in and it's like, what's going on here? Well, I found out that my son saw something about a pro rollerblader that if you took the two center wheels out, that's how this pro did it. He wanted to be the pro. Well, he got the nuts done on the two center wheels of one boot. He couldn't get the nuts done on the other boot. Mom said, well, wait till dad gets home. He was full on in problem-solving mode. But I don't need the center wheel. I don't need the center wheels. Hacksaw. He cut right through the plastic and discovered a thing called structural integrity. Because he put it on and the wheels now collapsed into the bottom of the boot. Now, see, I'm so glad I could look at this as a discovery mastery relationship experience.
Oh, isn't that great? See, it's a discovery. Hey, look, we discovered structural integrity. Instead of saying, "Hey, son, I can't believe you destroyed your rollerblades. Like, what the heck were you thinking?" Which would be non-helpful of the relationship to just say, "Hey, look what we discovered. We discovered that you actually need a little few couple extra wheels to keep the structural integrity, right?"
So again, those are those great moments. And it's
What a great way to flip those moments and say they're great moments. Look at we're discovering instead of saying, can't believe. What a great idea,
Now think
John.
about that in the context of some of the key things that we really get, charged up about as parents. How about respect and disrespect? Well, when you look at that as a discovery issue and a mastery issue and a relationship issue, you respond to it differently than I've got to teach you how to respect me.
How would you do it? How would you do it productively?
Well, it would start with a really great thing to recognize. What's their age? Okay, we're talking about respect. Well, what's their age? Well, let me teach you how to respect me as a father, how I want to respect you as my son. Let me teach you how to respect the neighbor. Okay, you got to discover this. All right, well, how do we master this? How do we develop skill in this area? And can I do this in a way that supports the relationship and the relationship I have with this child? Think about sexuality for a minute. Tough issue for lots of parents, okay? When I do presentations, it's pretty rare when I say, so how many of you appreciated how your parents talked to you about sexuality? Every once in a while, a hand will go up, okay? Well, see, if you look at even something like sexuality as a discovery issue, yes, they will discover. Okay, what's the mastery? Well, the directions you want to have this go, this powerful force, this beautiful thing, which direction do you want to take this? Okay, what kind of relationship? Now think about the daughter or the son that's in a relationship and it's getting a little too hot, too sexual, and too intense, but they can talk to mom or dad about this. Rather than, well, I can't talk to my dad and who ends up pregnant? Now that's a whole different story.
Right.
So again, issues with respect, issues with household chores and tasks. Cleaning a toilet is an issue of discovery and mastery. And what kind of relationship do you want to help your son develop with you and with cleaning a toilet? You could pay him to clean that toilet. You could consequence him and force him to clean that toilet. Did you get a discovery mastery relationship? Such a powerful thing to keep thinking of.
I really like that. How profound. Now, let me ask you this. You teach peak performance master classes, is that correct?
Yes.
Okay, tell us a little bit about that.
Twice a month on the second Wednesday at 9 o'clock in the morning, 5 o'clock p.m. on the third Wednesday, I have people that I'm coaching or people just show up and let they want to perform. Every month, I've done this all this last year, and I've had people give business pitches. I've had people give like talks, public speeches. I've had people sing solos, play the piano, play the guitar, read lines. And so this is an experience where you get to work with, I get to work with people about how to develop the skills mentally to bring your best to this performance.
Do you do these performance, are these peak performance master classes also available virtually?
Yes, it's all done on Zoom.
Okay. Wonderful.
I've had people literally from around the world at some of these.
Sounds intriguing. How would people get a hold of you if they wanted to sign up for one of these?
DrJohnSkidmore.com, DrJohnSkidmore.com. They're free, which is always nice.
Dr.
And
John Skidmore, no H, right?
right, DrJohnSkidmore.com, and just click and register. Just look for them. I'm also doing a free 30-minute individual consultation. Click and register for it. And
Wonderful.
it's so important to create a relationship with the people that you're working with, that you want to help you. And so that's part of that 30-minute consultation. So it's just really fun to provide tools and skills that can help parents. Like, for example, we're going to be talking a lot on the 5th. How many times might a parent say to their child, "You have nothing to be afraid of. Just do your best. Don't worry about it. Hey, it's not that big a deal. I'm sure you'll do fine." Are any of those really going to be reassuring to an 11-year-old? Just do
What
your
should
best.
someone say? What should someone say in alternatively to that?
Yeah, that's what we're going to be talking about. Imagine if you were 11 years old, X, and you had a basketball game you were nervous about. Okay, so X, when you're on the court and you play really well, how do you feel? Excited to be there. Okay, what if you could be excited about your game right now? So you're gonna have a chance to be out there. But what if I mess up? Well, what's happened in the past when you mess up? You mess up. Is anybody gonna play a perfect game? My daughter was playing, high school volleyball, and she came to me and says, "Dad, help me out here. I'm sitting there on serve receive going, 'Don't hit it to me.'" And she's going, "No, I don't want to be sitting back here ready to receive a serve thinking, 'Don't hit it to me.'" Well, we talked this through, and she shifted that around to, "Oh, nobody on the team gets every ball to the setter the way they're supposed to. And I get most of mine there. Okay, I'm just going to get the ball to the setter as best I can. I'm going to do it. I'm going to go after it rather than don't hit it to me." So really, again, when you look at things like a game, a piano recital, a test, okay, discovery, mastery, relationship. Hey, you're going to discover something. Let's talk about the discovery. Okay, you're learning how to master the idea of a performance. What if a performance was a practice in performing? It wasn't this big, all-important, life-altering, crucial event. It was just the thing you're going to practice doing. Practice bringing your best skill right here, right now. Let's do it with confidence. Let's do it with boldness. By the way, confidence means you can handle whatever shows up. It does not mean you're going to make every shot. And that's where you
Right.
can risk. You can take that risk, and you can fail, and you can risk again.
Because so and have them kind of practice with a calm. They can hear your confidence. You say, hey, it's no big deal. You might mess up, so that's not a big deal. But what do? We keep going, you know?
Yeah.
And you can feel it.
Well, and that's tough because a child's brain is so all or nothing, and it's so tied into the shame and things are wrong and bad that you have to really work with that. And there's no way around that. Life is just that's the way it is. That's how our brain remembers negative things. And so probably the thing that's most important there is when there are negative events, that you are quick to reestablish the relationship, reconnect with them, that you are quick to say, "Hey, you are more important than whatever just happened here." And get into their world. And sometimes their world's very painful. It's very frightening to them. It's overwhelming to them. And so, again, how can you be there for them in their world?
I love that. So people can reach you at the Dr. John Skidmore, J-O-N Skidmore.com. If there's one thing more that you would want parents and dads to know before we wrap up today, what would you, well, is there anything else you'd say, John?
What a privilege to be a parent. What a privilege that you're a part of. And your goal, my goal has been, I love being a parent. I've loved my experience with 4 kids, 11 grandkids. It's really to support them in their adventure called life. You can't make them follow any particular path. You got to help them, support them on their adventure, where they're going, what they're doing. And just like, this is a privilege to mentor and guide and to teach and relate to. And you want a relationship with them that's going to be a lifelong relationship. Last week, I was with two of my kids, eight of my grandkids. That was about relating and relationship. And I love that.
I love that. What a privilege. If we could all realize what an opportunity we have to shape the next generation, our children, have that relationship with our children, which is going to actually flow down for generations, probably even forever. What a great thought, John. Thank you for sharing your wisdom and your insights with us today. For those of you who are driving, we'll put Dr. John's Skidmore's contact information and website in the show notes. And again, thank you for sharing your wisdom with us today.
It's a pleasure. It's a privilege. I'm committed, just as you are, to helping parents be great parents. That just makes great kids and great parents, and that greatness continues. I know that's what you're committed to. That's what I've been committed to. So gotta love it. Thank you, X. I really appreciate being here on your show.
Thank you, John.